الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فما بعد فقال تعالى اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين My brothers and sisters, كل عام وأنتم بخير. Eid Mubarak to all of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the month of Ramadan that He gave all of us. May Allah accept all your ibadat, your qiyam, your siyam, and your tilawatul Quran, all the tarabih and qiyamul layl that all of you prayed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of that and reward you in keeping with His majesty and grace. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the du'as that you made and give you what you asked with afiyah and khair and give you then in addition to that from His own generosity and His own grace, inshaAllah. Why Siratul Mustaqim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us this du'a in Surah Al-Fatiha, which is the rukun of the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us this du'a. Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim. Why Siratul Mustaqim? Why didn't Allah say, oh Allah, give us Jannah? Because Sirat al-Mustaqim is the way to get Jannah. Because the race, whether somebody wins or loses, is decided only at the end of the race. If you are on the wrong track, then no matter how fast you are running, you cannot win the race. And if you are on the right track, then even if you go slowly, you will reach the end of that track and that track leads to the right place. So therefore, Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ramadan al-Kareem was a refresher boot camp. It came to drive home the fundamental lesson that only obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam matters. The rest is noise. In 1981, a friend of mine called Peter Ramsing and I, we drove what is called the Oriala Trail, which is a trail through the rainforest between Guyana and Suriname, between the Burbis River and the Quarantine River. And it goes through practically virgin rainforest. The only reason there is a trail is because at some point they used to do some logging deep inside the forest, so there was logging trucks used to go. So Peter and I were driving a Land Rover, and then we had to have everything in the Land Rover. So we had chainsaws and block and tackle pulleys and everything else, because if there was no bridge, then you had to build a bridge. So as we were driving on this track, there was a place where the track was so deeply cut by the truck, by the tires of the truck, that there were two trenches, literally, with the center raised up to the level of the truck bed. Now, if you put your Land Rover tires into those trenches, then you get jacked up. Then you are going nowhere. And that's a place where there is no help whatsoever. And I am strong now, I was stronger then, but I still couldn't lift a Land Rover. So there was no way of getting through that. So what Peter did was that he put one tire of the Land Rover on the central median. So the car completely tilted and two tires were up in the air, two tires on the median. and the cabin of the Land Rover was resting on the side of the road. So he drove it in four-wheel drive with that, so dragging along. And then when it came to the end, I stood on top of that and I pushed it back and it came back on the track. Now, the point is, why didn't we find an alternate road? Because you know that in a rainforest, if you try to find an alternate road, then it's curtains. You will get lost. And these were the days, this was 1981, so no GPS and all that. And even if there was GPS, I don't know which GPS has got some tracker in the middle of the Amazon rainforest. It's curtains. Why am I telling you the story? Because that is the story of Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. Follow those who succeeded. Follow the well-worn track because you know it's going to the right place. If you don't do that, then the chances are that you are going to get lost. So monitor yourself to see if you remain on track after Ramadan. And that begins with Salatul Fajr in the masjid. How many of us prayed Salatul Fajr in the masjid today? That's an indicator. And if you did not play Salatul Fajr in the masjid today, then I'm not saying beat yourself up. That might be a good idea, but I'm not giving you that idea. But definitely pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid tomorrow and until the end of your days. Because if you're not doing that, then you wasted your time of fasting of 1 month in Ramadan. Because if that 1 month of fasting in Ramadan and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot even get you to the masjid for Salatul Fajr the day after, on the day of Eid, then what were you doing for that 1 month? You're just being hungry and thirsty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah does not need your hunger and thirst. So why did we fast? Because Allah said so. We didn't fast because of some chemical changes in the body that are beneficial and because it prevents cancer or something. People sometimes say they pray because when the head hits the ground, static electricity is discharged. And all kinds of funny so-called scientific explanations. We fast and we pray because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. Nothing more than that. And that is more than enough. Now who is this Allah? The same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who ordered us to pray 5 times a day in the masjid. To always speak the truth. To earn and eat halal. To stay out of all interest-based banking. To be pure in our conduct. To serve our parents. And to focus on the upbringing of our children. The same Allah who ordered us to be good to our neighbors, to spread goodness all around us, to stand for the truth and bear witness to Him, even if it is against ourselves and our nearest and dearest, rich or poor, powerful or weak. The same Allah who told us to stop any evil with our hand, to speak out against it without fear, and to hate it in our hearts. The same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu who ordered us to show compassion to everyone, to fight for the rights of others, and never to deny anyone their due. The same Allah who told us that if we do these things, then we will have a beautiful and graceful life in this world and Jannah in the Akhirah. So let us obey Him in all things, at all times, throughout our lives, not only in Ramadan. I remind especially my sisters that it all begins at home at the earliest age. The reminder is for those who have children. When does the age to obey Allah begin? The instant the child is born. Children listen with their eyes. They will do what they see you doing. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. So train them young if you want their deeds to benefit you in the Akhirah. Remember that they can be your asset or your liability. If you train them to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will serve you, they will be faithful, obedient and concerned for you all their lives, and they will make dua for you in tahajjud as long as they live. I usually ask this question, I'm going to ask you again. For some of you, it will make you very uncomfortable. How many of you prayed in tahajjud for your parents today? It's as simple as that. If you did not do it, then believe me, your children are also not going to do it when you are gone. It is as simple as that. So if you raise them to be slaves to their desires by fulfilling every desire of theirs, then they will abandon you, they will ignore you and forget you as soon as they can, and they will fight like dogs over a bone over your property once you're dead. And as for dua for you, well, you know the answer to that. Thawabul Jariyah or Adhabul Jariya is your choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you whatever you work for. I'm addressing the ladies in particular about this because raising and training children is their first and only responsibility. So bad news for you guys who thought your wife's responsibility was to serve you. It's not. It is to raise your children. Her responsibility is not to serve you, even less to serve your parents. It's your job to serve your parents. If your wife serves your parents, she is doing you and them a favor. And you better show that. Your gratefulness to her because she is doing you that favor. It is to free them. It is to free the women to take care of the children. That Islam made their husbands responsible for all their needs without exception. Now listen carefully. What is the responsibility of the husband? To provide them with cooked food. Not just raw materials. To provide them with cooked meals. Not to raw materials so she can cook for you. No. If she cooks for you, this is a favor of hers, the ihsan of hers on you, for which Allah will reward her, and for which you need to show gratitude. Islam gives her the right that you provide them with cooked food, clothing, some of it from Anonym, adornment, some of it from Louis Vuitton. Did you know that they burn all unsold bags, Louis Vuitton? You know why? That's the power of brand. They don't want them to be sold or put on sale or something, right? To provide them with a comfortable home, and I need not mention air conditioning, of course. To provide them with transport, ideally with a star on the bonnet, but other aspirants are permissible. And whatever else she needs to free her mind from everything other than raising the only asset which will benefit her and her husband after they die. And that is your children. Remember, my brothers and sisters, that conditioning begins at birth. Conditioning is essential because what is right and wrong must be imbibed with mother's milk or it will forever be a source of confusion. Leaving children free to choose whatever they want to do without any guidance is like throwing them into the ocean without teaching them to swim. It's like allowing them to experiment with all kinds of food and drink and drugs and lifestyles and come to their own conclusion about what is good. Good then is a product of the nafs. It's a product of what the nafs likes. About which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu illa ma rahima rabbi." Allah said, "Verily and truly my nafs leads me only to evil. Except and unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy." So how can the nafs lead them to anything that is good? So train your children to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from their earliest age. Take them to the masjid and teach them how to behave. Ensure that they are treated with respect and affection when they go there. If you have people in the masjid, and that you'll never find that in here. But in other places, if you have people in the masjid who are chasing the children and saying, go back and so on and so forth, they will deal with those people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who comes first in the first saf has a right to be there, even if it is a child. Alhamdulillah, we have always practiced that in the masjid. That's the reason why you see so many small little children here. And well behaved, alhamdulillah, because we teach them how to behave. But do that. Ensure that this happens wherever you go. Encourage little girls to wear hijab. When they are young, they do it eagerly, imitating their mothers. So the mothers also need to wear hijab. Don't dress them in clothes that expose the body, saying, after all, she is still young. Hijab is not fard on her. First of all, in today's times, to have your little daughters in frocks is highly dangerous for them. And secondly, and even more importantly, obedience is a habit. It won't happen suddenly and magically at puberty. If they were not habituated to it, they will go through needless pain and confusion when the clock starts ticking for them. For you, it starts ticking the moment they are born. Teach your sons the meaning of responsibility. Teach them to obey you and care for their sisters. Don't favor them over your daughters. Don't overindulge them. Don't overfeed them. Don't overprotect them. Your apron strings are not a suitable resource for someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined to change the world. Both your sons and your daughters are your legacy. Whether they will be a legacy of honor or disgrace, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left in your hands. On this day of Eid, remember those who Allah made you responsible for. Every poor person, everyone who is in need, everyone who is making dua for relief from difficulty, from suffering, be the answer to their dua. Be the reason for them to have hope. Be the reason for them to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wish you all happiness for this Eid and for the rest of your life. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.